I know we're all grateful for the leaders that come out of Aggieland outside of the service academies. The Corps of Cadets continuously and consistently commissions more officers than any other institution in America. Today we have the privilege of hearing from one of them. It's my honor to introduce our keynote speaker for tonight, one of Texas A&M's own, retired Air Force General Hal Hornberg, one of the 9 distinguished Texas A&M graduates to obtain the rank of 4-star general. After getting his senior boots and graduating from Texas A&M, General Hornberg went on to command at all levels of the Air Force, flight, squadron, wing, numbered Air Force, and major command. He also led a composite fighter wing during Operation Desert Storm and directed air operations over Bosnia, in addition to the many posts stateside, including working at the Joint Chiefs of Staff, where I had the chance to meet him about 10 years ago. In other words, General Hornberg has served the United States at about every level in the United States Air Force. He epitomizes the bravery of all generations of veterans, and because of him and leaders like him, our country is the bastion of freedom and a symbol of liberty around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming General Hornberg.
About 12 years ago, I was called up from my headquarters at Langley Air Force Base in Southern Virginia to report to the Chief of Staff's office for something. I don't remember what it was, trivial, but I do remember a meeting we had. He said, I'm going to have to keep you up here a little bit longer because we have a meeting with Senator Cornyn, at least I do, and because you're a Texan, I don't think he'd mind your attending. And I said, what time do we leave? Because when senators or congressmen call, they don't come to you. But he did. I worked in the 100th Senate as the Air Force liaison officer, and I can tell you that of the wonderful senators I met none with the humility that would get in a car and save a general an hour of transportation. That's what I remember about this man, and I'm proud he's my senator. This morning we had a weird experience. We stopped near San Marcos. It was New Braunfels, as I recall. We stopped there and walked in a Chick-fil-A to get a breakfast biscuit because we like to have something as we tumble along the road down to Aggieland. And there was a Santa Claus in there and a Christmas tree and a big old teddy bear. And I looked at the mother of the little girl who said, "Mom, it's Santa." And I said, Did I miss Thanksgiving? But you know, I've always gotten Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas about right, but I've really been confused and never really nailed Veterans Day. We have Memorial Day, everything closes and we put flags out. But Veterans Day is special because we have an opportunity to honor those who served and are still among us. And I think as a nation, we don't do the job that we should. This place accepted. This is terrific. A lot of people ask me, how do we thank a veteran? I think one reason, I'm going to recommend 4 to you tonight, but I think one way to thank a veteran is to ask them their story. And don't expect a big war story, a story about heroism, and there I was in combat, and I had a knife in my teeth swinging from one boat to another. You're not going to hear that from veterans. What you'll probably hear, though, is stories about their buddies. That's what's important to veterans. Stories about their organization, stories about some of their accomplishments, some of the sorry things they were asked to do by some sorry leaders. We had great leaders and we had bad leaders. We had great veterans and we had some not so great veterans because every population tends to re-stratify, but I'm proud that I was able to drape myself in the cloth of my country, and I know these men and women are as well. And they deserve our thanks and they deserve our listening to their stories. But when you listen to their stories, ask them about their wives or their spouses. Ask them how many times that wife had to leave a job and relocate and find new employment. And about the time she was getting comfortable in that employment, here comes another set of orders and they're out the door again. Ask them about their kids and then listen. Ask them about how many times they had the captain of the cheerleaders about to have a senior in high school and get yanked out and have to go overseas with their folks. Or how about that junior in high school in a small school in North Carolina that's a stud muffin chunk of burning love, and he's a stud on his foot on his soccer team, but mom and dad moving to a big town and he's a nobody. And it takes him a year or more to achieve what he left behind. That's what veterans' families did, and that's what they do, and that's what they do more often than ever before. And these veterans that go off, if they're on active duty and they serve more than one tour in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they come back affected for life. When you see a veteran missing an arm, or severely burned, or on a stump, or walking on a cane, you can probably tell that that person was injured in combat. Now, some people, if you go up and ask them, where were you injured, they may say the oil field. But most of them will say, I was injured in combat, and I'm trying to put my life back together. Some of them don't have visible scars. Some veterans have invisible damages. The United States, sadly, does not handle mental situations nearly as well as we should. It's fine if a person doesn't have an arm, but if they're addled or confused and have a mental condition of some kind, we don't treat them right. But there are veterans here that would probably tell you the same thing as I. If you want to thank veterans, seek them out. Thank them for their service. And what I do is say, not only thank you for your service, but thank you for serving for me and for my family. Veterans like Dennis Gehring, a junction boy who had everything. The story of Dennis Gehring is a story of guts and tenacity. Go look it up. I won't take the time tonight. But before Dennis Gehring, between being a junction boy and coming back here to be Mr. Business in College Station Bryan, flew nuclear weapons during the Cold War all over the world in a B-47. About a young Marine out of Afghanistan, or out of Arkansas. Who will tell you that despite being one of the leading women's college coaches, basketball coaches in America, and winning a national championship here at Texas A&M University, that he got his start, he got his footing and grounding by the United States Marines. Dennis Blair. About a young guy who came from Henrietta, Texas, with $250 in his pocket with a grant to study agricultural journalism, became corps commander, went to Vietnam, was an infantryman, came back and taught at West Point for several years, and then returned to College Station as president and CEO of our foundation, and tripled, 360% of growth in the foundation's base, Eddie Joe Davis. There are others, but it's getting dark and I need to move along. I would suggest that there are three ways that we can thank vets. Number one, know what their issues are. Don't get your news from blogs. Don't get your news from personal emails. Get your news from research. Know where places like Kandahar and Mosul are. Understand what a VA hospital does. Understand what it can do and can't do. Understand what what the issues of active duty men and women are, as well as veterans. And then once you understand those issues, with due respect and a high degree of civility, communicate those concerns to our elected officials. I know Bill Flores, and I know Bill Flores would welcome your letters. I just got a note a week ago from a person I know up in North Texas, a veteran, Brigadier General retired, who wrote Senator Cornyn, and he wrote me to tell me he didn't know anything that I had any was gonna interface with Senator Cornyn, but he said, I got the nicest letter back and it wasn't form letter B. Our elected officials need to hear from us, and they need to hear from you on behalf of people who don't have the strong voice that you do. So the second way that you can thank a veteran is to take up their issues with elected officials. The third way is to live a life that matters. Live a life as a veteran did, one that made a difference. I could tell you in my own words what I think that means, but I would rather steal words written beautifully by a man named Michael Josephson. He says that someday it's all going to come to an end. There'll be no more sunrises, no more minutes, no more hours, no more days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, your fame, your temporal power will revert to irrelevance. It won't matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, your resentments, your frustrations and jealousies will finally disappear, but so too your hopes, your ambitions, and all your to-do lists. It won't matter where you came from, what side of the tracks you were on. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender and your skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, courage, compassion, or sacrifice that enriched, enabled, or encouraged another to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories of those who loved you. What matters is how long you'll be remembered, and by whom, and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't come by accident. It's a matter of choice. So choose to live a life that matters. That's how you can stand with it then. The noted Jewish historian and humanist Elie Wiesel told a story about a Jewish man who, in the Talmudic belief, thought that if he could get every person he came in contact with to repent, that the Messiah would reveal himself. So he set out to change the world, and he was very optimistic that he'd be successful. But the world was a big place. Where to start? So he said, I know my country, so I'll just start there. But where to start is a country so large? And he said the same thing about his city, but he didn't know where to start. So he said, I'll start on my own street. No, I'll start in my own house. No, with my own family. Never mind, I'll just start with myself. The sun's going down. As soldiers would say, it's time to stack arms, play retreat, and get on with the business of the night. So I'll tell you that when you go home tonight, kids, hug your parents. Parents, love on your kids. We need to do some restoration in our country, and it can start with each and every one of us. It has to do with making politics not a blood sport, but we need to do our part too. When we go home and we have Thanksgiving together, please remember to give thanks for the veterans and the freedoms that we all have, because those freedoms did not come for free, and they did not come easy. Be safe going home, and God bless you, and God bless our America.